Hey Grant,
hey Eddie,
welcome to another men's podcast. We are going to deal with a very, very interesting topic today. It's called the silent killer. And it's silent for a reason, because sometimes it's so evident when you know what we're talking about. And I think it's something that we've experienced and fought all of our lives, and it's been given to us in different contexts of culture and what it means biblically. But at the end of the day, we're talking about the root of all evil, which is pride.
Sure.
Versus humility, and it's got to do with us being sometimes egotistical and unteachable or teachable, and also being able to surrender that. But it's not about condemning anybody today or ourselves specifically, because I mean we can go through a whole list. But you know what, Grant, I think what's so scary for me is that this destroys marriages. It destroys friendships, ministries, leadership teams, businesses, even nations. And sometimes we just don't see. And I think that's the scary part about pride that we see. And it's the one thing that costs Satan his place in heaven.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's it too. But thanks for giving that introduction. I think pride is one of the most dangerous things that we can face as a man, because it hides so well. It's well disguised. And although we can see pride in one another quite easily, and we can call it out sometimes, and I think this is part of our story today, is that it is sometimes very difficult to see it in yourself, to identify it, because it's well hidden. And so in the words of C.S. Lewis, that he said, pride is the complete anti-God state of mind.
Wow.
I think that's what we are facing. That's what pride causes.
Yeah. And what a challenge it is for us today, just to identify that, and then also learning what is biblical humility. Because sometimes when we think we're humble, we can sometimes have false humility, which is also a form of pride. And just see how we can really look to cultivate all of that. So Grant, why don't you kick us off with the first scripture that just deals with pride?
Yes, Proverbs 16 verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Oh, how many times have you not heard that?
Yes, I think it's well quoted.
Yeah.
What is the reality here that scripture says? And we don't use scripture just to qualify what we are saying. I think we do this because it anchors us.
It does.
It's very important. So God doesn't say pride might lead to destruction. It says that pride does lead to destruction. James 4 verse 6 says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. We don't want to be opposed. So I think I would listen to this if I'm, you know, it's an important fact, but I think this is a big key for us to unlock some things in our lives. And so it's a very sobering verse, and you never want to oppose and be in opposition to God.
No, definitely. And Philippians 2 verse 3 to 4 also says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourself. And I think that's the real spirit of what Jesus was doing, Grant, is that he was saying humility isn't thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. Yes. And it's that whole servant heart, you know, first shall be last and the last shall be first. And also Jesus said he came to serve and not to be served. And I think it just displays and represents the heart and the spirit in which Jesus wants us to live our lives And it's contrary to the world, isn't it?
Yeah, very.
If you look at what's happening in the world today, it's driven by ego, pride, and selfish ambition. What do I? What can I get?
Yeah.
What can I not bring to the table, but take off the table, and harvest it in for myself because it's about me, myself, and I. And we've actually had an offline discussion about this. Is where is this going? Where will this end?
Yeah.
And the reality is, it is been going as the Bible says, since the days of Noah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it will be again like this before Jesus comes back. And I think, you know, this is it is just a vast, vast problem in society today.
Yeah. During that offline discussion, we even asked ourselves, but, you know, what's the answer? We have to look at what Jesus did. So scripture that speaks to me is Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8, where Jesus humbled, it says that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient even to death on a cross.
Sure.
And so the greatest man that ever lived was the humblest. And he gave us a template of how it looks to be humble in a difficult moment. And we face a lot of difficult moments, and this is what he modeled to us, is how to be humble.
It is. And you know what, Grant? I think this is why we want to deal with pride. It's the silent killer.
It is.
Because you don't notice it. You don't recognize it. And maybe you can share with us, why is it such a dangerous thing, especially amongst us as men?
When I prepared for this, I thought to myself, you know, it's causing a lot of damage. But what does pride tell us? How does pride speak to us? And when I go into that moment where pride speaks to me, it says a few things to me. Just, you know, it's just key phrases, and I think we can all identify with this, is I know better, I don't need anyone's help, I don't need any correction in my life, because I know better, I don't need accountability in my life. I know accountability is a big word in Christianity, because the Church of Jesus Christ has been through so much hurt with this topic, but the Bible says that we do need to walk in discipleship. And so you can point me to Jesus, and I do need to walk a road with someone in that process. We're not islands. We are not alone. And so we walk with the Holy Spirit and with one another. So accountability is a big thing. Or I can handle this myself. And once again, you place yourself outside of what God wants for your life.
Yeah, and I think, isn't that exactly what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve, for example? You know? The enemy convinced Adam and Eve that they didn't need to trust God, but they can rely on themselves and their own knowledge, and they can become like God. And they didn't realize they were already made in the image and the likeness of God.
Yeah.
But, you know, at its core, pride says it's my way is better than God's way.
Yeah.
My way is better than God's way. And if we listen to that phrase, it actually convicts me and it brings a kind of a fear into my heart to check myself, because I can so easily think I've got this. I can do this on my own.
But I was going to say, isn't that fear actually a healthy respect for God?
It is. It's the fear of the Lord. Because the Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom.
Mm.
And I think that's saying, God, you first.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that when I do this podcast with Grant, or when I discipline my kids, or when I have to make a decision in my business or in ministry or at home or whatever, it's like, what do you say, God? Because I can default so easily in my own way, but it's not necessarily God's way.
But let's look at some of those. Pride hides itself in very respectable language and respectable ways. And so we all fall for this.
Like the angel of light.
Like the angel of light. So some of the things that becomes identifying factors for me is pride appears in these formats. For instance, independence, when you have an unhealthy independence in your life, or self-sufficiency, or defensiveness in a situation, and you will know when you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when someone tells me, yeah, you know, you need to stand up for yourself. I hear you, brother. But when you're constantly defensive about something that someone is trying to show you, or God is trying to show you through His Holy Spirit, there's a problem.
Mm.
Unwillingness to apologize, a need to be right the whole time, or refusing any correction. So many men are proud without realizing it. But when I say it like this, I think it's just easy to take that to the Holy Spirit and say, maybe I'm struggling here.
Mm. It's very true, Grant, because I think, you know, the day we gave our lives to Jesus and we surrendered our lives to Christ, we gave up the right to be right.
Mm.
And I always say that at weddings for couples, it's like, it's not about who's right, who's wrong, it's about what's the truth.
Yes.
Because it's not the right that sets you free, it's the truth that sets you free. And the truth is in the Word. Mm. And I think if you think about it, it says the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When that lamp and light goes out, you are isolated and alone in the dark. And then what happens is you're trying to feel your way through life, and in the process, you don't see, you don't listen. And it actually causes a lot of damage and hurt in relationships. So I think that's what pride can make us into. And then we become callous.
Mm.
We feel alone. And we've said, I don't need God. I made it this far on my own. Why do I need God in my life? I can buy anything I want. Mm. You know? Okay. So, and that's why that scripture says it's easier for a donkey to enter through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's not talking about the riches of man. It's just talking about that hard attitude, saying that your dependency and your trust that's in something that's so in yourself and what you've done for your life.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And then the signs that we're looking for in our lives, because we need to get practical about a grant.
Mm.
And but how can we identify pride? Because I think it's sometimes so subliminal. It can either be so subtle, you know, it can sometimes be very passive aggressive in the way it presents itself. So where can we identify this?
Yeah, I think the warning signs are once again very evident. You become defensive, and that's when someone gives you feedback, and you immediately try to justify your reaction to what they are saying.
Mm.
Instead of listening, you're preparing your defense in your mind. And I know how that feels. It's like,
yeah,
you know, you're not going to tell me now what I now need to do. But we need to pause on those moments and bring discipline in. So Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, the way of fools seem right to them, but the wise listen to advice.
It's true.
Then you struggle to admit your mistakes. Pride hates saying the following.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong, I'm sorry, and please forgive me. Powerful words. You know, I sometimes sit in meetings and I think, you know, if we'd only, I want to give you a chance just to say that. Just go there. But then someone doesn't want to say that.
You know, Grant, it's so interesting. I think I remember we were sitting in your office once and we were talking about forgiveness. And you said to me how important it is to ask for forgiveness.
Mm.
Can't just apologize sometimes.
Mm.
You've got to go that one step further and say, please forgive me.
Yeah.
Because if we don't do that, then we don't give an opportunity for forgiveness, because that opens the door for forgiveness to come in.
Mm.
But we have to be intentional and actually say it.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, it just leaves a door half open.
Just
for pride to come in. And I just think it was just key. It was such a key moment for me when I heard you say that. I went home one day and I just got the family together. And, you know, just a personal story. I realized, you know, that I was being sometimes snappy and angry at home, and it was just a busy time, and I just called and I said, guys, the way that I speak to everyone here is wrong, and I apologize, but not just that, please can you forgive me and help me.
That's so powerful.
But I realize it's important to ask that.
But it opens up another door, and that door is you can resist accountability in the process. When you do that, you actually open the door for accountability.
It's
and
true.
You open the door for change.
Mm.
And you become uncomfortable when people ask difficult questions. So when you resist that, that's where you give, as you said, you give Satan just a different door to enter in. What God wants to do, he doesn't just want to bring accountability. Why does he bring accountability? He brings accountability because he wants to bring healing and restoration.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we need to open up that door. And that's why pride keeps us and resists us.
Grant, you and I have come through all the years of church and different cultures and movements. And accountability is... had a very negative and very positive effect on different lives. But what's the difference between healthy accountability and unhealthy accountability?
My view is accountability must come without fear for the individual. There needs to be a relational aspect to this.
Yeah.
And so if we don't walk in a relationship, just being accountable because you want to say it, there's merit in just getting it out and saying it, but because maybe it's a start of a relationship between someone that you're walking a road with. But generally, I think the unhealthy happens in accountability when there's no relationship. That's why we get a bad taste when this word is being brought forward in church life. It's because there was unhealthy accountability. There was forceful accountability. There were things that church modeled that wasn't Jesus's heart ever.
Yeah.
And so I think what should happen in this process is we should allow God to show us how healthy accountability looks.
That's good, God.
But you have to step into it. And you have to make that choice as well. So you say, I might even have been hurt by accountability.
Yeah.
I want to say it, Holy Spirit. But show me how does healthy accountability look?
Yeah, such a good answer. And I think it's huge because a teachable man can grow, you know. And I've seen also when somebody is unteachable, how they stagnate.
Yeah.
I think there's even times in my own life that I've stagnated because there were certain moments in my life that I was unteachable. But for that very reason, that you're so afraid and fearful to open up your life to someone because of judgment. And I think that's not what Christ, Holy Spirit, and the church wants to represent to you.
You know,
it's about love, but calling you on it.
Yes.
And then say, okay, but let's take hands and let's walk this together in relationship, as you said. There's also a part of pride that shows you that you need recognition. You know, you become frustrated when nobody notices your efforts.
Yes.
I can really identify with that. Your identity becomes tied to applause. I think, was it Bill Johnson or somebody said that? He says, if you live by man's praise, you will die by man's praise.
That's so true.
You know, because everything arises and falls on what you think, what people think about you. And I know when you're insecure, you just want a little bit of recognition. You want to be celebrated, but it comes in a form of pride then. So you will hop into performance and hop into I'll be the first. I'll do it better than anybody. Just so that you can hear that. And then it comes a lot down to being hurt and wounded when you may be a young man, you know. And I think for a man especially, recognition is very much sometimes equal to respect. And I think that's sometimes a false idea and identity that we can have if we're not secure in who we are in Christ. And then also with that comes a comparison, yourselves to others. You either feel superior or inferior, okay? Both can come from pride because both keep the focus on itself. So I've seen that in my own life where I can compare and then especially with the inferiority side, I can relate a lot. And you feel inferior to certain people because of what they have or, you know, what they've achieved in life. And when you walk into their presence, you feel so out of place. But that's also comparing yourself. And you've got to realize that my journey, Eddie's journey, is not the same as Grant's journey. You know, and so when we walk our different journeys, we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus because he's the author, the perfecter, and the finisher of our faith. And each of us have a specific measure of faith. And if we don't focus on our own measure of faith, then we are going to either walk in superiority or inferiority and think we're either better or we are worse off.
Is that true? I think that brings us to the power of teachability. Just being open to be, just to open your heart for the Holy Spirit to teach you. And so one of the strongest indicators of humility is your teachability. Humble man remains a great learner. And Proverbs 9:9 says, instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. So it's that man that opens up his heart and says, I'm open, Holy Spirit. Come and teach me. Come and guide me.
It's so true, Agron. I've noticed that whether it's a leader or just a person, no matter where they are in life, I notice that those people who are successful, not all of them, but humility. I love a guy that I watch on Instagram. It's called The School of Hard Knocks. Young man that interviews billionaires. Maybe some of you have heard it. And he's interviewed some of the most arrogant people I've ever met in my entire life. And then you see this man that has got no brands, no nothing. He's not parading no gel there or looking like he's had 5 Botoxes this week. But he just says, you know what? I'm not here because I'm so great. I'm here because I had faith in God and I had just had to work hard at it. But even if this goes away, it means nothing. And I realized those people make it in life because they're humble. They realize they're not here for themselves. They're here for a much greater purpose than themselves. And I think Jesus really embodied that. And then also is, and I don't know if this is necessarily true always, I think it becomes harder to be teachable the higher you go. Because you can so easily fall into a trap that you know it all. But the key is that the higher you go, the more you need to become teachable. We were a bunch of sim racers on a online lobby, and this is young kid that asks, like, if there's one thing you guys can tell me what I need to know about life. It's like, what is the best advice you can give me? And everybody goes, do this, do that, do this. And in that moment, I just realized that that very question is the answer. I said, my little 50 cents there is, the moment you stop asking the question, what is the best advice you can give me? If you don't ask that question continuously, then you've lost the battle. Then pride's enter your life and you're no longer teachable anymore. So I think, you know, that's very, 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 very important. What I would say is that strong leaders, strong men, you know, whether you're a leader at business or at home, we need to keep on learning.
Yeah.
Because we don't know everything.
Exactly. Pride says, I already know, I know everything. I think you've answered it very well. And humility says, what can I learn in this situation?
Yeah, and that's true for marriage, it's true for business, it's true for church leadership, it's true for our fatherhood.
Yeah.
You know, as men.
But let's talk about humility and surrender to God. And just to open up this point, here's something very important for me. Humility is not weakness.
Yes.
We as men can see humility as weakness.
True.
And it will feel like it's opposing us who we are as men. Mm-hmm. But humility is strength under God's authority. That's actually what humility is.
Mm-hmm.
Micah 6 verse 8 says, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Humility begins with surrender.
Oh, and surrender is so difficult for us as men because,
yeah,
you know, we like control, Grant.
Yeah, we do.
We like to have solutions. Like, that's one of the main things we sometimes battle with as married men is we don't listen. We just want to fix it, you know, and we can't. We like to have certainty. But I think that's for all human beings there is that the fear of the unknown brings us to a place of wanting to have control and takes us to that place of pride. But when we learn in that place of surrender to God, where there's uncertainty, where there's not clarity, He will give us certainty and clarity as we walk. But faith often requires us to trust God when we don't understand. What's that scripture? It says that the just shall live by faith and not by sight.
Yeah. Another scripture, 1 Peter 5 or 6 says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand and He may lift you up in due time. And for me, the order of this is important.
Mm.
Humility comes before the promotion side and submission comes before elevation.
That's true, eh? And as we talk about that, let's talk about it at a level where we lead at home.
Yeah.
And maybe at work also there's a form of responsibility you have. But if we talk about leadership and have humility in leadership, it means we need to be able to listen. But what does a humble leader look like in leadership, Grant? If you can define it in...
Yeah, Jesus gives us the answer, Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. It opens the door of servanthood. Kingdom leadership is servant leadership. I love how Jesus just left all these little breadcrumbs for us in Scripture. Because He constantly served. We think He only served when He washed the disciples' feet. But He even made them food. And He was constantly serving that generation. Mm-hmm. And we can see that even when He calms the storm, we don't read, we read over that scripture and see the miracle, but He was serving them by calming that storm.
There's
so many of those experiences that we just launch over and we say, well, you know, He's doing stuff. He's just, but He was constantly in a mode of serving people around Him.
Yeah. You know, Grant, that's so true because when you look at that, you look, a humble leader is someone that listens, that learns, that serves, that admits their mistakes, shares the credit and understands team. And then also, very importantly, I also believe that whether good or bad, whether it's a victory or whether it's a mistake, they take responsibility
for
it. And the moment we don't take responsibility for things is the moment we don't want to be accountable, as we spoke earlier, for any action.
Yeah. So a proud leader controls, they like to dominate, and they deflect the blame, as you said, that they don't want to stand in accountability. They demand recognition. and they refuse correction. It's that moment where you just think, well, I'm not going to bend the knee here, you know, and you just get stuck there. Mm. But sometimes that's, you know, that's a sign there's pride in your life.
It's true, Grant, because I think the most influential leaders aren't always the loudest leaders, are they?
Yeah.
And, you know, I love this. It says that the most influential leaders are the safest.
Yeah, amen.
And that we need to point to Christ because he's our head.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we run into him to be safe.
Yeah.
But Grant, how do we as men cultivate humility in our lives? What are some practical things we can do?
We're just going to run through a few steps there.
Please.
Just to finish off, spending time with God is, for me, a pillar in life.
Mm.
For me personally, it is very personal. I can't live this life without spending time with God. I think that's a commitment in our lives that we need to make. The closer we get to God's greatness, the less impressed we become with ourselves.
Sure.
Isaiah 6 verse 5 says, "Woe to me, I'm ruined, as I encountered God's holiness and immediately saw himself clearly."
Yeah.
Then invite feedback. Ask trusted men around you. What do you think? What do you see? How do you see what, you know, I'm busy doing this. It's not about success and failure. It's that personalized input where you have a relationship with someone.
Yeah.
It can be feedback.
Yeah.
Practical, practice repentance quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't defend, don't justify. Own the situation. Own your repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Serve quickly. Do something significant without needing recognition.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke about that. It's just, you know, we serve God, so we don't need people's recognition there.
Mm.
And I think lastly, staying grateful. Gratitude reminds us everything we have comes from God. I think that just cements our conversation.
Yeah. So I think closing for a challenge, and I think it's important for us as men, I want to say to us as guys, you know, pride isn't subtle. It can hide inside success. It can hide inside our spirituality, our leadership. And often the greatest threat to man's growth isn't what he doesn't know. It's what he thinks he already knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Grant, in closing, that's our challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would take us to that challenge, to counter that, what I've just said, what do we do?
Ask God.
There we go.
Lord, where has pride taken root in this life of mine?
Mm.
Then ask someone you trust.
Mm.
Is there any area where I'm resistant to correction or growth in my life?
Mm.
And I must say that's going to take some courage. So let's look at James. James 4 verse 10, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up.
Mm. So there we have it, Grant. Humility doesn't make us less of a man. It makes us more like Christ.
Yeah, amen.
And so guys, I want to encourage you with that as we go into these weeks and as we listen to this episode. I want to encourage everyone to go and ask that question. We ask that question and allow Christ to come in and be more and see how we can identify the areas where we need to grow and surrender and allow God to come in.
Amen.
So we trust you enjoy this this podcast, that it meant something to you. Please comment in the section, what do you think are some of the areas that also you know, is also areas where pride might want to come in. We'd love to hear from you. But we trust that you will have a wonderful day and we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you, Grant.
Thanks, Eddie.